Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. So it's an old story. Countless fairy tales about travelers have a scene where the main character comes to a fork in the road and has to decide which way to go. One way could bring happiness and good fortune. The other way, danger, disaster. So this week I'm looking at two movies about people making life decisions and where it takes them. One's a low-budget American movie about a young conservative Texan who ends up in liberal Portland, Oregon. The other's a multilingual drama with an international cast about people facing life-changing decisions that end up affecting dozens of strangers they'll never meet. 360, directed by Fernando Meirelles. Okay, in a series of apparently unrelated stories in Vienna, Paris, and London, we see men and women falling in love, falling out of it, having illicit affairs, purchasing sexual acts, stalking strange women, resisting temptation, breaking up, and starting up all over again. This is a difficult movie to describe without giving away the links and the connections, which would spoil the story, but let me try. So in just one of the link stories, a middle-class, somewhat selfish London couple, played by Jude Law and Rachel Weisz, have a fragile relationship. But depending on which direction they each decide to take it, they'll end up affecting lots of people. A sex trade worker in Eastern Europe, a Brazilian woman stranded in a U.S. airport as she heads home to Rio, and a Russian dental hygienist living in Paris. Meanwhile, there's a woman kept apart from a potential new lover because they've yet to express their true emotions in Europe, and a sex offender, played by Ben Foster, will either give in to his abusive tendencies, as in the U.S., or stay away from what he knows is bad. These and many, many other stories come looping back in a 360-degree turn, hence the title, just like the ring roads and the grand European capitals of Vienna, London, and Paris. And since these are all strangers who meet at random, in the movie we see a lot of the characters in hotel bars, airport lobbies, cafes, and AA meetings, the sort of places you could meet someone you don't know. We get a glimpse of their problems and then, boom, moves along to the next city. And all the individual stories are loosely woven together, but not in a neat circle that the title suggests. It's not even like the hub of a wheel with lots of spokes heading out in all directions. It's more like throwing a bunch of shoes into a bag, shaking them up, and then wondering, how did all the laces get so tangled and knotted? Like, what's connected to what? It's definitely interesting. It's a neat movie with a neat concept, and the plot is never predictable. Lots of the characters don't take the paths you think they're going to take. But I was left wondering, was I duped by a complicated junkie movie, or did I just witness a masterpiece? More simply speaking, is it a good movie or not? Well, at times it seems to be a smaller movie than the giant, grandiose themes it's tackling. That's good. It's not encumbered with a weepy Hollywood violin soundtrack. Instead, it skips from city to city with the local pop songs from there. It does have a great international cast, and the director's a Brazilian, a man who did City of God, and the famous UK writer, Peter Morgan, wrote the screenplay. But at times, there's like a whiff of Oscar bait, pandering. But even that's not fair, although it does have that grave, sober tone of some film festival type movies. It's also fascinating, a bit thrilling, and tense, with even a little bit of ironic humor. So even if the movie as a whole left me feeling a little bit cold and devoid of satisfaction with that 1960s angsty European feel, it's still a unique piece of work. Okay, I give in. I liked it. It was good. Go see it. Next is Blue Like Jazz, directed by Steve Taylor. So Donnie, played by Marshall Allman, is a good Texan. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't cuss. He tucks in his short-sleeved shirt and goes to Baptist church every Sunday and does whatever his divorced mother tells him to. But right when he's about to go off to Baptist college, he discovers two things. His layabout dad, who lives in a trailer park, is ready to bankroll his tuition at a liberal arts school in Portland, Oregon. And his Bible-ready mom isn't quite the goody-goody church lady he always thought she was. The church has betrayed him, so he decides he's going off to open his mind to new ideas. So the movie follows his experiences as a fresher at college as he gradually adjusts to student life. He falls in with Lauren, played by Tanya Raymond, a genuine lesbian who looks like Amy Winehouse, And the Pope, an older college rabble-rouser given to dressing in a robe and mitre, like the Pope. And Penny, an earnest, politically active blonde woman who's fighting plastic water bottles everywhere. So gradually his shirts get untucked, then he switches to t-shirts, he stops shaving. Soon enough he's throwing beer bottles out of windows and popping MDMA at outdoor raves. Portland is not without its rules. Umbrellas are considered uncool. And Penny warns him, in these parts, Christians are expected to stay in their religious closets. They don't come out as born again. So it's up to Donnie to decide if he should permanently ditch the church in favor of new ideas or to fall back on his childhood upbringing. Blue Like Jazz is an extremely low-budget drama. It was paid for through crowdsourcing, but it works. It's actually a fun coming-of-age college movie with interesting characters, nice story, good acting, good music. Definitely worth watching. Also opening this weekend are two good documentaries that played hot dogs, The Invisible War and The Queen of Versailles. So The Invisible War, directed by Kirby Dick, tells about the estimated 1 million rapes or sexual assaults that have happened within the U.S. Armed Forces over the past century, how the perpetrators are let off even as the victims face punishment. It's an important look at a shocking subject. And on a much lighter note is The Queen of Versailles, a hilarious documentary by Lauren Greenfield about a pneumatically equipped compulsive shopper with many children and little yappy dogs everywhere, and her husband, an elderly timeshare mogul, who together attempt to build themselves a replica of the Palace of Versailles in the Florida Everglades, the world's biggest home, but they're caught in a lurch when the real estate bubble suddenly bursts. Very good movie. So the dramas 360 and Blue Like Jazz and the documentaries The Invisible War and The Queen of Versailles all open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber with the Movies every Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.